Hello, welcome back to the Praying Christian Women podcast. I'm Alana here with Jamie for a coffee break episode. So, how's it going, Jamie?
It's going. How are you today?
I am good. Do you have coffee? Are we making this officially a coffee break?
Have a coffee cup and the coffee is gone, but
Oh
the cup is still here. I have a tiny little bit, so
no.
I'm on to water now.
Well, that works. That sounds just like a healthy choice. Well, welcome everybody. We are excited. We're going to be chatting about just prayer, productivity, kind of, I guess there's a lot of ways that we could go. So we'll just sort of see where the conversation takes us. And last time we tried to do a coffee break on this topic, we got onto a whole other subject. So hopefully we'll at the very least actually be talking about productivity today. So I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. And just a disclaimer. So, in our last episode that we recorded together, you had a disclaimer about a kid maybe coming
Oh,
in.
yeah.
Mine is we have ice dams on our house, and there are a couple of them that were getting like not good. We were having like some water backing up, and when it thawed, like it was like leaking behind the. So, anyway, we have roof guys right now, but it's like it sounds like the house is coming down at some points in time.
Really?
It's loud.
Okay.
So if you're not hearing it now, that's great. I'm going to keep my microphone on mute. But yeah, these are some of the perils of living in Alaska when
I
we get 100
know.
inches of snow. Now you
I
guys,
mean, over double a typical snowfall season, right?
well, I want to say like 80 inches can happen,
Okay.
but I don't know. Did you guys get more snow than us though?
We've had some more than normal.
Yeah.
I don't think we had as much as you because we get more of the real extreme cold
Right. So
where,
it keeps the
like we don't
snow
really get
from
snow.
coming in.
But,
Yeah, it's desert.
I know you guys in Anchorage have had all those issues with roofs collapsing because of all the snow that's built up.
Yeah.
And
Thank goodness there were no fatalities this year so far. There was one last year, but thank goodness. Yeah, there are not.
Well, wherever you are listening, we hope you are staying just safe and well and feeling, I don't know, hopeful for spring or whatever season it is in your hemisphere or at whatever time of the year you're listening to this. So, do you want to open us in prayer, Jamie, and then we'll get going?
Absolutely.
All righty.
God, we just thank you for this time that we can just come together and talk about prayer. It's one of our favorite things to do. And we just thank you for the gift of prayer, Lord, and the fact that it is not limited to spiritual things or things we put into a spiritual category, but that we can actually pray in and through things. We can invite you into things that seem secular and seem very practical and mundane, like working and being productive. So we just pray you'd guide and direct our conversation today and just help us in this next week ahead to really be mindful about how we can invite you into our productivity and just remember that you care. Amen.
Amen. So if you didn't have kind of a set place to start, I was thinking we could start with just what are the most common productivity pitfalls or struggles that people deal with, and we can talk about just how prayer can help with those. Does that sound like an okay starting point?
Yeah, definitely.
So let's just start rattling off, whether from personal experience or just anecdotal, what we know of. What would be some of the, like, if you had to come up with a list of the 3 to 5 things that trip people up when it comes to just getting stuff done, what rises to the top of your mind?
If we're talking about me, I would say distractions.
What does that look like when you're trying to get something done?
Just the fact that, especially when I'm trying to get something done at home, working outside the home this last year has made me realize that working in the home is so different. And I'm a different person when I work inside my home. So, being distracted because there are so many different things that need to be done that if they cross my line of vision, I'm going to be drawn to them. So let's say I'm working on editing a podcast episode. I like to do it upstairs in my little literal closet off of our room because I don't have those distractions. But when I'm downstairs, like if the family's home, I like to be there just in case they need something or whatever, just to be around. And I will have kids coming in asking for stuff or just wanting to talk. And then I feel bad that I haven't talked to them all day. Let me at least look them in the eye and engage with them, or dishes, laundry, packages at the door, just all of those things. So I would say for me, being productive, number two is distractions. But number one that would guard against distractions is intentionality. Instead, I'm a very go with the flow person, and we've talked about this where that can be a strength. But when it comes to getting things done and being intentional about it, that is I'd say my number one top thing. And when I don't plan it out well, I'm more prone to succumb to distractions.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. I think that we can all picture, let's say you're going to make like a big Thanksgiving meal and you're doing a lot of the sides and everything, right? If you don't sort of have a plan, not that everybody needs to write out the plan, but even if you don't have a mental plan of like, here's what I need to do first, here's what I need to do next, then it can get really, really overwhelming. There's our dog. We've got the heating fuel people over, so we're
There
all
we go.
distracted.
Yeah, Alaska, you need your fuel, you need your ice dams steamed off.
Okay. If she barks one more time, let's just pause so that people don't
Okay.
have that in their ear. Yep. Okay.
Will
Let's just
do.
take a quick break.
Yep.
Alrighty, that commercial break was brought to you by Cuffy, the Springer Spaniel. But going back to this analogy, if you've got, let's say you're creating a main course and like four sides and a salad and a dessert, and it all needs to be ready at the same time, you do need to either mentally or on paper have a plan. You need to just, and I think a lot of times it starts with just assessing, what do I have? That's why what I love my first kind of productivity hack is just the brain dump, right? Here's all the things that I'm even like thinking about. And you can even make this a prayer dump, right? Because we can get that same overwhelm. There are so many things I want to pray for. I have so many things swimming around in my head. And sometimes if you don't have a plan, you do just sort of stay stuck, or you stay in one area, or you bounce from thing to thing, but you don't really feel like you've addressed anything. And so starting with, here is everything I've got, right? Like when you're cleaning out your bathroom, like sometimes it's nice to take everything out of the cupboards and the drawers and be like, okay, here's what I've got. And then what you put back, it's going to be intentional. So one thing I love is whether we're talking about productivity in terms of just all the things that we have on our to-do list, or if we're really talking about being intentional about making time specifically for prayer, I think that taking time to mentally plan your work session or your prayer session or your day can be really, really useful. And so if you're only partially scatterbrained, my suggestion is like, what are the three big things you want to focus on, right? So maybe you're getting ready to clean the house. What are the three areas you want to get done? Or maybe you're at work and you have an office job. What are the three kind of projects? Or like maybe it's email, the phone calls you've got to do, and the draft proposal you're working on or whatever. Or, for parenting, where do the kids need to be when? What are the, okay, I got to get dinner. I got to pick them up from here. I've got to make sure that their backpacks and lunches are ready for the next day. So just kind of that, what's the big picture stuff that I want to get done? And in our prayer lives, I think that can translate to, okay, I've got a 15-minute quiet time. What are the three things I want to do with my time? And it doesn't have to be, and I don't even think in my case, at least, I don't like it being the same three things each time. But like, okay, maybe it's this time it's going to be Bible study, gratitude journaling, and praying for my unsaved friends, right? Like, that doesn't mean you're limiting yourself to only praying for those things, but it does mean if I get these three things done, I will feel like I've accomplished what I set out to accomplish, as opposed to just showing up. I mean, like, hey, I'm here, right? Like, hey, house, you're messy. I'm here. Where do we start? But having a plan, right? Like a doctor, when you're there just for a checkup, they kind of have a plan that they start with. And then if they see something that needs more attention, they'll focus on that. But, it at least starts with a loose plan.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, at least, and I like that because not everybody is a stick to a list kind of person and stick to the 5 minute increments of I'm going to do this time and this time. But a loose plan, I think no matter who you are, I just feel like that is something. And I think that's where prayer can come in because I think traditionally we think, and I think, because I have a hard time focusing sometimes and I have a hard time planning, sometimes I shy away from the planning part and the, let me take time to organize my thoughts here because I think if I start doing anything other than actually working, I'm going to lose my momentum or I'm going to get shanghaied and I'm going to get like, tangented, so I.
Well, and I think that, yeah, starting with prayer can be really, really helpful. I think it goes back to the saying, it's like, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, or something
Ooh,
like it's
yeah.
something like that, So
I
it's
like
like
that.
a 3 minute, let me just jot down the things I want to get done, or let me pray over this project I'm about to start. Or let me even, like, when we think about prayer and productivity, my first go-to often is how can prayer help me be more productive and how can I pray over my to-do list? But I think there's also a sense of maybe you have 20 things that are all truly urgent and pressing. First off, I encourage you to look at that list and be like, are they all really urgent and pressing? But let's just go ahead and assume that they are. Let's say you have 20 things on your radar and they are all quite pressing to get done. And let's say that your general estimate is that is 12 hours worth of work. And let's say you've got 5 hours of work time to do it in. Your tendency is going to be kind of like what you said, let me just start as much as I can because otherwise I'm going to get even more behind. So let me just jump in immediately. And when we do that, it reminds me of emergency situations. And I know we've used this analogy before. If you arrive at the scene of like a big I don't know, a big plane crash or something, you can't jump in and just start healing people immediately. You do need to triage and you need to figure out, okay, these people are going to be okay to wait for care. These people can go seek care somewhere else, so I don't need to deal with them. These people, and I hate that this is even a category, but in real extreme circumstances, these people cannot receive the amount of care that they would need. And so I'm going to focus on the people who need urgent care, and my urgent attention will make a difference. Like I said, I hate it sounds cold and calculating, but it is very, very important to do that instead of just rushing in and saying, what can I do? Like I picture when you look at a sheepdog and how, like, if they're not intentional, all they're doing is running at a flock, right? And the flock's just going to scatter. But so if you approach your to-do list like just an untrained, non-shepherding puppy who sees a flock of sheep, all you're going to do is make them all run away and it's going to be tons of chaos.
And
When
I've
you watch,
experienced that. Like I have experienced
you've run
that.
at the sheep, have you?
Yes. Oh my goodness. And it's one of those things where I think, but I worked so
I
hard.
know.
I'm
And you spent
so
so much energy.
tired.
I know. Because if you
Yes.
think about it, you compare that puppy who just runs into the sheep, you think about the energy that they expend and the quote
Right?
work that they do. And that's actually
Oh,
more work than the
it is.
sheepdog who crouches, they go slow, right? Like, If you've never seen this, like I find it actually really fun and almost relaxing, like mesmerizing to watch YouTube videos of sheepdogs at work because they start slow and they don't approach it with chaos. Like there's so much natural instinct that will tell them exactly how to get the herd to move in unison to where they want to go. And it is work, but it is not frantic. And I think that's one thing that we don't correlate, or maybe we overcorrelate. We say, well, if I'm spending tons of energy, it's got to be better, right? So that's like the person who says, maybe like if I study for 12 hours, I'm doing more work than the person who studies for 1 hour. But some of it does depend on the method that you're using, right? Like if
Very
you're
much so.
cramming all night and exhausting yourself to the point where your brain retains nothing, you have done more work, but you are less effective than the person who studies 2 hours before bed, gets a good night's sleep, reviews things for 30 minutes, and shows up refreshed. And I think that's the kind of philosophy we can take into those days where we're like, God, I don't even have time for quiet time. I don't have time for prayer. And I'm not religious about it. I'm not like every day at 7 to 7:30 a.m. I must be in my prayer corner and it must look like this. But I am really a firm believer in the benefit of starting off a massive to-do list with that. You know, again, I go back to that sheepdog, a calm, a slow approach, a methodical approach. And the way I get there is by spending some time with God. Sometimes that means I'm focusing on praying over all of my projects, asking God for help. Sometimes it just means that I'm giving him the first fruits of my time. It would be like, I don't even feel like I have a minute to spare, but God, I'm going to take 5 minutes and read the Psalms and worship you, right? So it doesn't have to just be praying over what you want to get done, right? Because that could even turn into just using God as your, you know, like your magic genie. But sometimes it's even just, hey, let's spend a little bit of time together. Like I know you and your husband have done some pretty big house renovation projects and things, and those can get stressful, I imagine, working with your husband on this project. So I'm picturing like a hypothetical scene where there's a couple, and let's say they're, I don't know, putting in new cabinets, and they know they've got hours of work to do. And there's only a little bit of time, or let's even say it's something outdoors where it's dependent on daylight, right? So like there is a clock ticking. Picture the couple that wakes up frantic, wakes up stressed, goes right into it. And then picture the couple who they wake up at the exact same time. They take 5 minutes in bed to just kind of relax and cuddle and talk. They take another 10 minutes to discuss, like over their coffee or over their tea or over their breakfast, kind of here's what we want to get done. Here's what we want to do first. And then just because I'm me, let's say they also take 10 minutes and they like share funny memes and YouTube videos with each other. And, you know, and like they laugh for a little bit and then they get to work. Okay. So they've lost less than half an hour out of, let's call it a 12-day workday doing those things. But I think a lot of us can, at the very least, hypothetically fathom, okay, either they're going to be even more productive because they came with a plan, they came with calm energy, they came with, you know, a good mood, or even if not, even if that truly is like they're half an hour behind at the end of the day where they otherwise would be, they might just be a lot happier too. And that's worth something as well.
And it goes to the, it kind of reminds me of the analogy of, not analogy, the illustration of filling up your day with things, and they give you the jar, and then they show you like the big rocks go in first. And as long as you put the big rocks in first, you're always going to have room for the big rocks. And then you add the little things. But if you add the sand first, you add like big rocks and then progressively smaller rocks up and then sand. If you add the sand first, they don't all fit. But if you add the big rocks first and then the smaller ones, and then you fill it up with sand, the sand goes in all the cracks and crevices. And I found this where if you're not prioritizing certain things, you're not going to end up getting them all done. And if that means prioritizing this planning time, which, the planning time itself is also going to make everything else fall into place. But when you're not prioritizing the prayer time and giving God the first fruits, it's not going to get jammed in otherwise. But I really liked your story. You have one illustration that you've shared several times, but I want you to share it again about having just wait. It was a Sunday night, I
The
think.
Martin Luther story.
Yeah, I would love for you to share that because if someone has heard it a couple of times, they could use to hear it again as a reminder. And if they haven't, they need to hear this story in this context.
So this was years ago, and Sunday night, I would be home with the kids who were littler at the time. My husband was doing youth group over at the church. I was writing like a novel a month, so I had a really very strict, very rigid kind of schedule. I was pushing myself a lot, and Sunday nights were my nights to kind of get ready for the week. And so those would be my nights where I would take care of all the admin stuff, banking, finances, any emails I needed to take care of. It was basically let me clear everything that I need to do, like in my online life. Let me get it all done on Sunday night so that Monday morning I can wake up and write more books. And there was one Sunday night where the amount of things that I needed to get done in order to have a clear mind for Monday, it was like 30 different things. And youth group was a set time. It was a 2 hour long youth group. And when my husband came home, that was kind of my cue. Okay, like my work time's done. And so I started this time. I was like, there is no way I'm even going to make an ounce of difference on this, right? Like I've heard the term doom spending. It felt like that. So it's kind of like we've got a $20,000 hospital bill. So let's go out and spend 80 bucks on dinner because it's not like the 80 bucks we spend on dinner isn't going to make a dent on this $20,000 hospital bill. That's kind of how I felt about like, even if I work frantically for 2 hours, even if I work frantically for 4 hours, it's not even going to make a dent in this list. And I knew myself well enough at the time that I knew one of two things was going to happen. I knew that either I was still going to chip away at this massive list and end the night feeling no farther ahead, or I was going to spend 2 hours scrolling on Facebook. Like those were literally the two options that were in my mind. I'm like, I should turn on my computer. I should just start. Like, usually my first was like, I should turn on the computer. I should just go into my Gmail and just start. But I knew the second I turned on the computer, I was going to go to Facebook and 2 hours later. And, but there was this sense in my mind of even if I did, it's not like I'm any worse off, right? Like if I've got a $20,000 bill, it's not like I'm worse off for, spending 20 bucks somewhere else. So what I ended up doing, and, I do remember why I did this. You and I were hosting the Prevailing Prayer podcast, which is what turned into the Praying Christian Women podcast. And we had a segment there with prayer quotes. And do you have the quote in front of you?
I don't at this
Okay,
moment, but
I
while
can
you're talking,
paraphrase
I
it.
can pull it up.
Okay, I'll paraphrase it pretty accurately, I think. It was a quote from Martin Luther who said something like, I have so much to. Okay, go for it.
So he said, if I have it, I found it here. He says, I have so much to do. There was a longer one, but this says, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. But there was a longer one.
There was, and it was probably a translation thing too, but basically the one we talked about was like, I have so much to do today that it's going to be impossible for me to get it done without spending a minimum of 3 hours in prayer first. And You and I talked about that quote and we kind of joked. And in my mind, I was like, haha, what's a monk have to be so busy doing? You know what
Right? How busy could he be?
I mean? Like,
Isn't prayer his
okay.
job?
Right, exactly. But I remembered that quote and I was like, well, you know what? The moment I turn on my computer, I know I'm going to start just mindlessly scrolling Facebook. So how about I am going to just forget the to-do list and I'm going to start to pray. And what happened in that prayer time, it was a life-changing night, which is so funny because it, like most of us, you think about a life-changing prayer and you think about, you know, somebody terminally ill getting healed or, you know, like a big call to the mission field or something. And this wasn't that at all, but basically within the first, I would say 10, 20 minutes of my prayer time, my to-do list was put into so much perspective, is really what it was. And so I realized like a third of the things that felt pressing and urgent, I didn't need to do that week. Like I could either fit them into pockets throughout the week or I could wait till the next weekend and like nothing bad was going to happen. And then I realized a third of the things I could ask somebody else for help with, right? I think I had recently hired an assistant. Like, oh, well, you know what? She can do some of this stuff. And then so that left me with a third, which felt way more manageable. And then from that time, I remember a pad of paper. It was probably my prayer journal. And I just wrote out everything. I just did a big brain dump. Because sometimes I really like, I have so much going on in my mind. I need to just get all of it out on the page. And so it was just kind of like a list of like, here's all the projects I'm thinking about. Here's all the directions I feel like I'm being torn in. And then I looked at that list and was able to say, okay, these can be backburnered. These can be mid-burnered. These are the things to focus on. And then here's the order to focus them. And so I got so much more perspective from the logical side of, okay, here now I'm left with a 10 list checklist. It probably took me like 40 minutes once I got that perspective. But even there was another perspective as well, which is like, even if none of this gets done, it's not like the world ends because I didn't respond to an email. Do you know what I mean? Or like, I didn't go and check this bank statement. And so, oh no, like the Middle East is at war. Like that's not, the stakes aren't that high. And so really that's what I love about those days when you're so overwhelmed, you feel like there's so much to do. You give some time to God. You give God the first fruits of your time. And I think the biggest thing that happens is you realize, oh, all these things that felt pressing and stressful, they're not as big of a deal as I thought they were.
I agree with that. But, and I also, as a person who even has a hard time coming up with the list, I find it very helpful to invite God into that list making because I struggle with prioritizing. I struggle with even identifying all the different things that need to be done. But I've found similar things happening when I feel I have a sense. What happens to me is I get a sense of feeling overwhelmed. I feel hopeless. I want to just numb out with something completely unrelated or procrastinate by doing something completely unrelated to the things that need to get done. And what ends up happening is I'll go putter around in the kitchen and clean the dishes for the 70,000th billionth time. And they're still good, you're just going to have to do it again anyway. Or I go to God and just say, God, help me. And I can't tell you how many times, probably as many times as I've done dishes, that I've said, order my thoughts, God, please help me to order my thoughts. That's one of my biggest prayers every day, especially when I'm planning, is help to order my thoughts. And so I'll just sit down. And like you said, sometimes it's just having just a I agree with you that sometimes if you include God in that kind of planning, it almost becomes like, this is what I'm going to get out of this relationship is I'm going to God. But on the other hand, as long as you're still having those times of just spending time with God, just to spend time with God, I think it's fine if you really, really
Absolutely.
depend on God for helping you to do those things, that it's good.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't turn into some kind of like genie in a bottle situation or superstition or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you are going to jump right into your day. And I don't think any of us should feel guilty about that. I don't think any of us should feel scared that God's not going to bless us. God recognizes, sometimes you jump right into your day. And we can learn from Jesus. He would remove himself from the crowds, but that doesn't mean that he had no hectic days, no days where everyone was pressing in on him. So the other thing I don't think it's like you're a mom of a 6-year-old and you're doing your Bible study at 7 in the morning and your little kid comes in and they're throwing up and sick and you say, "Not right now, honey, I'm spending my time with God." You know, it's like, no, like, or you know, you're the ER doctor. And you get called in because there was some massive something or other, and you didn't get your quiet time in that morning. And so you feel like God's not going to bless the work you do. Like sometimes we jump in to a busy day. Sometimes we jump in without a prayer covering. Sometimes we go and we've got to just make do with what we've got. And we can trust God to sustain us. But that doesn't mean, just like with Jesus, like there were days where the crowds just kept coming. Here's more sick people who need healing. Here's more sick people. Oh, look, more sick people. But he would also go and remove himself, right? So I feel like we are totally capable of jumping into ER doctor mode. We're just not meant to stay there, right? And that's where, like, people who get the severe workaholism, I think it's because they're staying in that just high adrenaline, high fast pace. And let's also go ahead and say some people are better suited for those kinds of jobs than others, right? Like, I know I would not be suited at all for any type of emergency medicine because I don't like that adrenaline. Like adrenaline ever that I can think of. I mean, I'm sure I appreciate it at times when it like saves my life, but I would like, if I were in medicine, I would want to do the, and now I'm going to see this patient and there's no surprise. And now I'm going to see this patient, you know, like just predictable, steady. When I go home, I'm home. And so, yeah, some of it is also your temperament. So I don't want anybody, because you know, let's just go ahead and say I don't think either you or I are adrenaline junkies. So I would hate for
Orthodontist.
somebody.
I've given this a lot of thought. If
You
I
would
had
be
to
an
be in the medical
orthodontist.
profession, I'd like to be an orthodontist. There are no surprises. Can you think of an orthodontic emergency?
I don't know, like could a brace snap or something, and you'd
Yeah,
have
but
to,
they're not going
but
to
it's not. Yeah, I don't know. Our kids have never had, thank good Lord.
right? Yeah, they're,
Yeah.
nah.
No, but exactly. Like, I don't want something that's fast and high stakes day in and day out. Some people,
Yeah.
you were designed for that. And I would say embrace it. Don't feel bad that you're out climbing mountains and you're like, but maybe God wants me to be sitting in my rocking chair drinking tea. You know, like God made us all and designed us all in different ways. And I think it's really important to know what is your busyness threshold. And so by busyness threshold, I would say this would be like one more thing would put you over the edge of being just like, I'm not functioning. And I would say in a perfect world, we work most days at maybe like 80% of our busyness threshold, right? Some days a little more, some days a little less. Maybe every so often you've got it real. Oh, you know what? Let's pause for just a second. I've got a call coming in. Sorry. Real quick. Okay. So yes, this is our real life example of being busy moms who have things that come up. But yeah, back to the busyness threshold. Like, yeah, there are going to be some days where you have no choice but to just jump in and work at like 110% capacity. And then I think it's just important for you to remember, like, give your mind, your body a reset. Right? Like that's why the idea of a Sabbath day is so important. So don't be at 110% every day. I don't even think people should be at 100% every day because then you have no wiggle room for if something does come up. Right. And especially as moms, how many times do we have what we think of as our day planned and full? And then, like in my case, a kid gets sick and is home, or you have a snow day and everything changes, or anything like that. So, the one last thing, I know we got to wrap up soon, but when I think about just prayer and busyness and the Christian life, one of the things that was very convicting for me was when I realized that busyness can be a form of idolatry,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
And that's sobering, because we, as you know, in our your in my case as American Christians, we feel like the busier you are, the better of a person you are. Like there's even some like holiness attributed to it. What's the proverb that people used to say, like idle hands are the devil's playground? You know, like it used to be equated with stay busy to be a good Christian and stay busy to be a moral person.
And I think
And
today it's almost like within the church, it has become if you're not volunteering for all the things,
oh, yeah.
then you're not a good enough Christian, you know? And people, and I'm guilty of being the one that felt like I had to do all the things, and it was definitely not necessarily all divine appointments. A lot of it was to please other people or to make myself look good. And I was guilty of, oh, why am I, I'm doing all this stuff, and they're, that person over there, they don't, I don't see them doing a whole lot. They could do some of this. And I mean, that's a
Martha, Martha,
very,
Martha.
very, yes, very damaging mentality, very toxic mentality. And so creating boundaries is absolutely important, even and maybe even especially in our churches. And not to say that you should just be like, oh, everyone else should do everything, but what I have found really helpful is asking God with the stuff in front of me, what is a false responsibility that I have on this list? What are you not calling me to? What about, you know? And there
No.
have been times that have they've fallen away, and I've been surprised at the things that I've put on my own list.
Yeah. So I would say if you feel convicted, you feel like you do need to kind of pare down your schedule. Top tip, don't just assume that you're going to get yourself an hour less of sleep every day. Like, I think that's our go-to. It's like, I need to fit in an hour of something, so I guess I'm going to wake up an hour earlier. In some cases, that can work. In some cases, that's great discipline. In some cases, that's really smart. In other cases, though, it's like one of the worst things you could do. And so don't assume that you're just meant to sleep less. And then the other thing I would say is, like what you were saying, Jamie, is just ask God to start dwindling down your schedule. And I had a friend, this happened very dramatically to her. She ended up on bed rest in the hospital for about 4 months. And she kept such a delightful, at least every time I talked to her, just a delightful, submissive heart about it. And she would joke, like, I don't remember praying and asking God for a quiet time with him, but that's what I needed. My joke, which is totally not a joke, is if I don't honor God and honor my body by giving it the rest that it needs, I'm going to get sick. My body's going to stop me in my tracks, and God is going to stop me in my tracks, and I will be sick so that I have to rest. Just like the Israelites, they were meant to every 7 years let all of their farmland lie fallow, and they didn't, and they got sent into exile so that the land could rest. And so I would much rather be the one choosing. I would much rather, okay, one day out of seven, predictably, I am going to voluntarily slow down. And you know how that's going to look is going to be different for everybody. And if it is, does it have to be a certain day of the week? Does it have to be every 7 days? That's beyond the scope of what we're talking about. But that spirit of honoring your body's need for rest and following the example of the creator God Almighty, who rested on the seventh day, I think it can remind us the world doesn't stop when we do. And I think that sometimes our busyness is tied up in a lot of pride. It's tied up in, well, nobody could do this like I can. if you got really, really sick, if you were in the situation of my friend, you're on bed rest in the hospital for 4 months, life is going to continue without you, right? And so it can be humbling to have to slow down and rest, but it's always good to remain humble before the Lord and remember, like, He's the one who gives us the strength that we need to get done the tasks He's given us. He has given us the right amount of time to complete the tasks He's given us. So that's another prayer I'll sometimes pray. It's like, if I'm convinced that God wants me to have something finished by a certain day, I'll go to Him. I'll say, God, you told me that we needed to have this, I don't know, we need this podcast recorded by Monday when it goes out. So I need you to help us find the time to get it up and going, right? So sometimes it can even be instead of like it's time is time doesn't really exist. And I have no idea how that actually works, but you can like read all the physics behind it. And so it's very okay to ask God to expand your time. And I have absolutely seen Him do that as well.
Well, and one of the ways that God has done that for me is if I have more to do than I have time to do it, one way that He does that is by, helping to shed things off of your list. But the other way I think that He does it is by going to Him and saying, reveal time wasters. Reveal, because I don't always, I don't, not even time wasters, just things, areas where your time is being spent and it's not as efficient as it should be.
Yeah,
You know
like
what
a
I mean?
leak.
Yeah. Or another thing could be just literal time wasters, like scrolling Facebook and Instagram, doing things that maybe aren't your forte that you could easily delegate to someone else. And so I just feel like it. Those kinds of things that are sucking our time, we don't usually realize it. It's usually, it feels like we're being productive, or it feels like we're not scrolling Facebook all that much. But when you look on your, like, what keeps track of how many minutes or hours you spend, not saying which I fall into that category of on some days, but it's revealing. So I think that's another big way that we can shed without sacrificing anything that's kingdom beneficial.
Important. Well, I know I love to tell myself there's always going to be time for the things that need to get done because, just like there's always enough oxygen in the air, like you can't run out of time because it's not like this finite thing, right? And again, I have no idea how it actually works. So if you're an astrophysicist or you're way into that, like, sorry, I'm not up on all my quantum research. But the other thing I ask God to do, in addition to like showing you where you can scale back, is like truly expand my time. Like I did this a couple times with we had company over. I'm like, oh no, I don't think I made enough. And so I'd pray like, please. And it was like the loaves and the fishes.
Loaves and fishes, loaves and fishes.
It really was. It was like, okay, here's a pot of soup that looked in my mind like it was going to feed five, and look, it fed 10, and nobody's hungry afterwards. And I believe God can do that with our time, right? Here's my 3 hour project, and I only have an hour to get it done, and somehow I get it done. And I think that's so that's another prayer you can pray. It's just asking God to expand your time. And He does that by making you more efficient. But I think there's also just this sense of like, remind yourself, busyness is a state of mind. Busyness itself, like there's not an emotion called busyness, right? It's not like it's just the way you look at something. So, yeah, we can approach it all with just kind of more peaceful serendipity and humility than some of us do. And the things that don't get done, sometimes I just tell myself, you know what? And maybe sometimes this is irresponsible of me, but it helps me with my outlook. If God really needed that to get done, it would have gotten done. And since it didn't get done, I've got some homeschool paperwork that I'm late turning in, and I don't lose sleep over it because in my mind, I'm like, it's gonna get done. And nope, didn't get done today. I guess that means it wasn't super high up on my to-do list, but I know that eventually, yep, it's going to get done. So hopefully that gave everyone listening a couple nuggets and approaches to your time. And we are just thankful that we get to be in your ears chatting about this kind of stuff together.
Well, let me just close real quick. I'm going to close with prayer just for this
Perfect.
whole topic and whoever happens to be listening. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for an opportunity to talk about in inviting you into our schedules, inviting you into our plans. And we just thank you. We just thank you so much for who you are and for your part in using us to carry out important things that bear fruit for your kingdom and that will last for eternity. And we just pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would help us to really be mindful of those things that have kingdom benefit, those things that you have called us to, and just help us to live in freedom from the bondage of busyness. I just pray that you would help us to release that whole concept and that we would just feel absolutely guided and directed by you and confident in our next steps forward through prayer and just through inviting you into the whole process of the things that we want to do and be productive in. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.